Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth of PaleoParents.com. You might also know me as the broth lady, or the inventor of the hashtag More Vegetables Than a Vegetarian. I'm the co-author of several paleo cookbooks, including Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, Real Life Paleo. I like to talk about health at any size, and self-love, and personal acceptance. Specifically, I have a love for lifting heavy things. If you're interested in finding more out about that, you can also find me on Strong Woman Radio.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Valentine, the PaleoMom.com. I'm the New York Times best-selling author of The Paleo Approach and The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm passionate about nutrient density and the intersection of diet and lifestyle with health, which really means I just love talking about science.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up, and you get to listen to our gossip.
So I have been pretty occupied with a pretty major giant thing this week, which has taken up a lot of my time and is actually, you know, not only did it take away the time that we needed to prepare one of our standard shows, but on the bright side, it's also really, really great topic of conversation for a check-in show.
I am not living in the 19th century, so I did become aware of this little thing that you've been working on.
Do you think everyone knows about this little thing that I've been working on?
So before we reveal to the four people who listen that don't yet know, I want to say that I too had an announcement, and it will be overshadowed by your announcement. So
what you're saying is you should go first.
Yeah, I'm going to totally go first.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And last time we recorded, I found out shortly thereafter that Beyond Bacon had been picked up to be carried in all U.S. Costcos.
Woo!
And I was notified with, like, very little notice because I was told that it would be in all Costcos as of today. But in fact, I was getting reports of it as late as Thursday and Friday of last week.
Yeah, I've seen people post pictures of it in Costco.
Yeah.
And I think it was like the next day after you told me that you found out.
It was crazy. It was so crazy. Our publisher must have like beam power, or maybe they forgot to tell me. I don't know.
You know, if the choice is between beam power,
yeah,
and just forgetting to tell you about this major, huge, awesome thing, the sad thing is it's almost certainly the latter.
Yeah. Anyway, so I've already shared with people the first time how Matt has his own mind. My personal goal was to be in Costco. Like that was the penultimate for me in terms of, you know, reaching an audience that I felt could really be affected by the things that we were trying to share and would maximize the impact of the lives that we could possibly change. And I felt like Real Life Paleo was the tool that would be the most applicable to the people who would be shopping Costco. I know that our publisher has been pitching Beyond Bacon to Costco basically quarterly for a year and a half. And I honestly had like completely unaware that they were still pitching it and no idea that it could get in, and have been hopeful that Real Life Paleo will still get in. And so when they sent me the email, I was like, you mean Real Life Paleo? Like, no, Beyond Bacon. So now two of our books have been in Costco, which, I mean, like, I'm saying it and I'm beaming from ear to ear. I'm just super, super excited and proud and honored. And I want to share the news with everyone, not just because of those things, but because it is by far the least expensive place to buy Beyond Bacon. And because it is available in every U.S. city, it's not something that's kind of like a limited run or whatever that only some people would have access to. I highly encourage everyone to tell your friends, tell your neighbors, buy one for that person in your life that you've been trying to convince to go paleo, and you think that the tipping point for them might be consumption of massive pork product, this would be the tool.
It's a common tipping point. Let's be honest.
Because who doesn't want to eat bacon? So, and this, you can even make your own.
And beyond.
And way beyond. I will say that Beyond Bacon is Matt's favorite book. He has no ifs, ands, or buts about it. For him, that is his favorite book. And it is certainly our kind of highest quality book. So the fact that, you know, it's a hardback, it's gorgeous photos. That was, you know, our first book that we did with Amy. I used my grandmother's antique props. They weren't props when she had them, but they became props for me to make that book be a coffee table gourmet masterpiece that is definitely gift worthy. And at $21.99 at my Costco, I don't know what it is everywhere else, it's cheaper than you could buy online or anywhere else that I've seen. So if that's something that you've been interested in, it would make a great Father's Day gift, Mother's Day gift, birthday gift, anything for the people in your life. So, you know, you can always buy them and keep them on your bookshelf and then wait until you've got somebody's birthday party and you're like, oh, shoot, I got to get them a gift. And then there it is right on your bookshelf waiting for you. So I am working with the publisher to see if we can do a mini book signing of sorts with Costco. So if that ends up happening, I will certainly share that news with everybody. But that's what I got. You had some little thing you were had going on. I don't even remember now. What were you saying?
Right. Well, you know, the transition of bringing paleo information to people who need it. It's pretty good transition point into my announcement from this week. So for the last 15 months, so from pretty much, I think the week before the Paleo Approach went to print until yesterday, I have been working on a television show pilot. It's a paleo-focused cooking show, and the show is called Paleo Bites. And we just sent the pilot and all of the marketing materials to networks this week, and I was finally able to tell everyone about it and share the trailer and share tons of information and actually tell people about this pretty major, huge thing that I've been doing. The show is called Paleo Bites, and it's very much, I mean, if you can imagine me creating a television show, that's what this is. So it's a cooking show, but it's really heavily steeped with science, and we're doing that in a few different ways. We're doing it because I can't turn it off, and it just comes out of my mouth randomly. So as I'm cooking and preparing, I'm dropping dorky facts about the nutrients and foods. We're also having little quizzes come up for the commercial bumpers. So before you go to commercial, there's like a little, you know, fun fact. And then when you come back, there's like the answer to the question. There's little facts that are sort of popping up on screen, sort of a la Good Eats from Alton Brown. And then there's what is our major device for delving into the science behind the paleo diet is these segments called Science Bites, where they're actually, you know, shot on a green screen and animated, and gives me the opportunity to get into more details about, it's going to be very nutrition focused. So nutrient density of foods, what those nutrients are doing in the body. But there's also a lot of diet myth busting, nutrition myth busting. Over the course of the first season, we're going to go through the major tenets of the paleo diet and certainly delve into that in more detail, but in a way that's sort of bite-sized. Haha, Paleo Bites, Science Bites, bite-sized. But
you are such a geek. It's adorable. But I'm glad you know it.
And yes, and I'm a geek in the show, and definitely dorky. But hopefully people will find that entertaining. But the idea is to kind of, is to have this cooking show where the recipes are delicious, they're easy to make. I'm really focusing on really accessible ingredients, so ingredients that you can get anywhere, that are budget friendly, and yet making this, you know, really delicious paleo food and food that anybody would look at and want to eat that. Like, it's, so it doesn't seem, you know, it doesn't seem strange. It doesn't seem, hard. And then at the same time, sort of provide this scientific underpinning for why making these food choices, you know, leads to better health. And then we're also bringing in lifestyle. So the sort of counterpoint to the science bite, every episode's going to have a lifestyle bite, and we're going to take, you know, it's like 2 minutes to talk about some aspect of lifestyle. So in the pilot, I actually go to Atlanta Strength and Conditioning, which is Julie and Charles Mayfield of Paleo Comfort Foods gym. And Charles Mayfield actually coaches me through doing a prisoner squat, and which is like a really accessible movement that really works the full body. It's great for core strength. It's something that you can do anywhere. And so we're going to have, you know, some of the lifestyle bites are going to be activity related and mostly focused on really accessible activities. So things that's really easy for people to sort of integrate into their daily lives. But also we're going to be touching on sleep and stress management, things like meditation, you know, being out in nature, you know, sleep hygiene, circadian rhythms, sun exposure. We're going to be touching on all different aspects of lifestyle as they pertain to health. And so it's this really, I think, really exciting show, because it's definitely a cooking show. But at the same time, like, if you're going to have it, if it gets picked up, it will be the first paleo cooking show on network television, which means it's going to introduce paleo to millions, if not tens of millions, of new people. And so if you're going to do that, to me, I think it's really important to do that in a way that incorporates the lifestyle aspects and has the scientific underpinnings, and then has food that's designed to be really, really accessible, and just show people that it's not a scary thing. It's not a difficult thing to do. And that, you know, eating the paleo diet is quite simple. It's totally doable. The food's delicious. And then you get to experience this great health at the end of it. So it's a, we filmed the whole pilot, which means it's like the whole first episode of the show. And the recipe that I made was pecan crusted chicken breast with cauliflower gravy and bacon braised kale.
Which, by the way, I had seen the pilot probably.
You saw a really rough cut.
Well, I saw it several times, right? Like different pieces several times, but I did see one rough cut full to finish. But when we were traveling, I saw bits and pieces several times. And I hadn't really been focused on the food part, because you're entertaining and you're funny and I know how to cook. And so I was more like, hey, Sarah, look at you in your cute lab coat. And then I saw your post about those pecan crusted chicken breasts, and I was like, I want to go to there. Like, that recipe, it's interesting. Like, I've conditioned myself to no longer, I guess, watching cooking shows, because there aren't any paleo ones, so we don't really watch a lot of cooking shows anymore. And but then when I saw it on your blog post, I was like, oh, I have to send Matt this link so he can make this for me, because it looks really delicious.
Yeah, well, I mean, I put a lot of thought and a lot of kitchen hours fine tuning this recipe, because, you know, if the recipe's no good, like, who's going to want to watch that cooking show, right? But it was really important to me that it was delicious, pretty easy to make, not super labor intensive, no ingredients that you would have to, you know, order from Amazon in order to find, and be something that, you know, people would just look at and be like, wow, that looks good. And the funny thing was, so the production was broken up over 4 filming days, and one day was all of the kitchen work, and it was like a 12-hour day. It was ridiculous. I was exhausted. And I basically ran through the entire recipe twice. And then there's certain parts of the recipe because it's actually a scripted show. So there's that. So there's certain parts of the recipes where, you know, there's lines that are delivered and it's sort of a transition point. So you kind of go through that like 5 or 6 times. So it took almost 4 hours to cook the recipe through the first time because we were trying to catch all of these, you know, transition shots and get everything perfect. And then we did an entire second run through in order to sort of pick up additional good stuff. And I got to ad lib more and kind of improvise. And actually a lot of that improvisation ended up making it into the final pilot. But at the end of the first run through, like I had these 4 plates of the meal. And so it was like time to have a break while we reset and wash all the dishes and get out all the other new ingredients. And so we just let the crew eat the food. And they went crazy. They were like, oh my gosh, this is so good. I didn't expect this to be so good. I was like, you watched me cook it. How did you not think it was going to be so good? And they're like, but it's gravy made with cauliflower. I didn't think it would taste this awesome. And it was the nicest like affirmation because, you know, some of the members of the crew ate paleo, but most of them didn't. So to have a meal that was appealing to that level to like a typical Western palate was like exactly the goal, right? Like exactly you want to be able to draw people in. You want to have a great show that's a great resource for the paleo community, but you also want to draw people in who are paleo curious, right? Who have maybe heard of paleo, but didn't think that they'd be able to figure out how to do it. And then they see this cooking show and they go, aha, you know, here's this, here's, it's not that scary. Oh, it's not all meat, right? And like we get to sort of bust some myths and really help people understand what paleo is, help people understand some of the nuances. And really, you know, what I'm hoping for this show is that it basically is the launching point for paleo to really go mainstream. Like the paleo community has been growing and growing, and there's estimates now I've seen about as many people in America are paleo as there are vegetarians and vegans, which is a pretty huge number of people, but it's still considered this fad fringe diet. And I think that having a paleo cooking show on TV, and especially one that has the scientific foundation, I think is going to really help us make that transition from something that's viewed as a fad diet to something that's viewed as, I think vegetarianism is sort of as a perfectly legitimate dietary option. And so I'm really excited about it. And I think the other thing I'm really, really hoping is going to happen is I'm hoping that being able to sell this show to a television network is going to really, you know, break the ice and get other people, because there's other bloggers out there who are really, really interested in, you know, being able to do something like this. And I think that, you know, in my ideal world, this is just the first, right? And there's lots more paleo cooking shows, you know, done by other people around the corner, and it ends up being, you know, as representative in, you know, the television show lineups as paleo is within the community. I mean, there's estimates that at least 6% of Americans are following a paleo diet. And some people are saying as much as 10%, which is like a lot of us. And so like, wouldn't it be amazing if, you know, 1 out of every 10 to 15 shows, cooking shows on television were paleo focused? Like, can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah. Also, I think those people have intentions of cooking more often than people who aren't. So even though proportionally we may only be, you know, 10%, or even if we're 5%, I think we represent a much larger number of people who are interested in cooking, because a lot of those people are just buying fast food or whatever and not caring about kind of home cooking meals. But I think that's why there's such an interest in the paleo community for food bloggers and cookbook writers and TV shows and that sort of thing, because people are cooking, what I hear from people often, for the first time in their life. They're learning how to make things from scratch, because our generation, at the very least, well, I won't speak for you. You're much older than me. But my generation, at least, and I believe yours, although I know your mom did a better job of things, my generation was raised on boxes and things that you could buy pre-made and in boxes already. Even if it was like a starter kit, right? Like people call a box cake mix still making something homemade because they literally made it in their home, even though it's not from scratch. So people don't know how to make a cake because they've always just gone to the store and bought a box. And so my point is that now that people are moving towards real life paleo food where they have to kind of think about these things and make them themselves, they need that guidance and that help. So I think we represent a larger percentage of people who would actually watch food shows because we're interested in making the food. Does that make sense?
I think you need to write that in a letter.
Oh, geez. I already did the form. I already did the form on your website. I submitted.
So let me tell people about the form on my website. So, you know, I think that the major obstacle that we face right now is proving to the television markets that there is, or television networks, that there's a market, right? So we need to show them that there's tons of potential viewers who are going to watch Paleo Bites. And I mean, what the television networks really want to know is that people are going to buy the stuff that they see on the commercials in between. That's kind of a little bit harder to talk them into, because in part it depends on, I mean, there's a lot of negotiation that happens in the contracts about that, but we just basically at this point want to show that there's huge numbers of people who are, you know, hungry for a paleo focused cooking show. And so I'm trying to mobilize the community as a whole to try and send that message to the television networks. And so we're doing this in a couple of different ways. So right now you can go to my blog. There's an announcement post right on the homepage. It's kind of splattered all over the homepage. You're not going to have a hard time finding it. And with inside this post is more details about Paleo Bites. There's the trailer, which you can also find on YouTube for Paleo Bites. There's lots of photos, you know, stills from the show, photos from production, photos from post-production. And so you can go and read more about the show. And then there's a form. And when you fill out that form, and really all you have to do is fill out your name and your email address. And it has to be a valid email address. Then there's a pre-filled in box with like a note to the television networks. You can write your own note. You can leave that note. We just did that to make it easy for people. And then you hit the send button. And so that's automatically sending an email showing that you are excited about Paleo Bites and that you would support this television show to our target networks. And then just to sweeten the deal, when you do that, you'll get automatically redirected to a page that contains the PDF of all of the recipes from the pilot. So that pecan crusted chicken breast and cauliflower gravy and bacon braised kale, and even the mashed sweet potatoes and garden salad with homemade salad dressing that I served the meal with on the pilot but didn't actually go through the making of, that's also in this PDF of free recipes from the pilot. So just, you know, there's a little bribe. I'm not above a bribe.
Listen, you didn't have to bribe me, but I will say I was excited when I got the recipes after I submitted my form.
And I was so proud of my team for how they pulled that PDF together, because it's absolutely gorgeous. And I had really specific ideas of what I wanted it to look like. And they pulled it together. So it's beautiful. Like, it's a beautifully designed PDF that has even more information about the show and more images from the show, you know, so you get even more of a taste of the Paleo Bites pilot from the PDF as well. And then the next thing we're doing is we're asking people to, you know, go to Food Network or Cooking Channel or their favorite television networks and post on their Facebook wall, you know, send them a tweet, you know, tag them on an Instagram post and just tell them that you're excited. And actually, by the time this podcast airs, we're going to have launched into daily social media giveaways, encouraging people to do exactly that. So to go right on Food Network's Facebook wall or cooking channel, you know, tag cooking channel in a tweet or whatever it is that day. And we're going to be sort of mixing it up and targeting multiple channels through these giveaways. But what we're giving away is seats for an exclusive online screening and live Q&A that's going to happen March 21st, which is a Saturday, from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern. And we really were specific to pick 3 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time because it's an accessible time for the Pacific time. It's also an accessible time for Europe. It's sort of late evening for Europe, but it's also early morning for Australia. So we actually thought about you, whole entire world. Okay, South Africa, I'm sorry. We could not figure out how to make it work for you. but we really, you know, we tried to make it at a time where, you know, our Australian and New Zealand fans could watch the screening, our European fans could watch the screening, and all of North America, South America could watch the screening. So we worked really hard to kind of find that perfect time that was sort of accessible for everybody. And so every day on my social media, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we might even do it on Pinterest. We're still waiting to figure that part out. But we're going to be doing giveaways for seats for this online viewing. And all you need to do the viewing is a device of some kind and an internet connection. So if you get selected, you'll receive an email with a web address and a password. So it's going to be pretty easy. And you can, you know, if you win a seat at the viewing, you can hook your computer up to your TV and turn it into like a viewing party and have your friends over. And if you have a seat at the viewing, you'll be able to ask questions for the live Q&A. So I'm hoping people will be really excited about actually seeing the show. And so if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, yes, Paleo Cooking Show, that would be awesome, please go check out my site. So you can go to thepaleomom.com/paleobites and get all of the information, get that form that you can fill out in about 10 seconds so you can get the PDF of the recipes, and then, you know, do your normal thing of checking social media sites so that you can enter the giveaways and hopefully win one of, we're going to give away a few hundred seats for this viewing. So we're going to be giving away a lot of them. So hopefully people listening will win.
All right. I'm excited. You don't even have to incentivize me to have a seat. I'm excited. I'll give my seat up because I can ask you questions anytime, and I've already seen the show. But yeah, so as you can tell, we've got some stuff going on right now. We will be back with the show next week when our schedules are a little more manageable. I have some stuff going on in my personal life as well that's kept me pretty late in the office, so I was not able to pull one for the team and cover for you this week, Sarah. So
are you just reminding us again that you have a real job?
That is a thing that I do have. Yes.
I mean, we
all have real jobs. Like Matt has a real job. You have a real job. I go to an office that's not paleo.
I actually think I have 4 or 5 real jobs.
Yeah. So I have like a thing that other people think of as a quote unquote real job, as well as all of this other stuff, which a lot of people, when I meet them in person, seem surprised to hear. So nevertheless, I believe that I found the crux of our technical issues on this podcast. I posted the picture to Instagram. I am being sarcastic for those of you who have not listened to all 4,000 episodes of this podcast yet. But for those of you who listen to this podcast and don't follow Instagram, Sweet Potato has not left my side since we started recording the podcast and has been like batting at all of the wires and the routers and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you need to go away right now because this is a temperamental system tonight. So, anyway,
cuteness. He's adorable. Even his butt, because the picture's really your cat's butt.
My cat's butt, yeah.
But he's got a cute butt, so there you go.
I couldn't get him to turn around because he's a cat, and they don't really like to listen to you.
Generally not. Yeah. No. So. They're quite a different species than dogs, surprisingly.
Okay. Well, enjoy the buzz that you're feeling. And I will mention, just because 1,000 people ask us, we're both doing fine. We're both feeling fine. We're both continuing with the health protocols that we're working on. And I'm sure we'll give an update when we have it. But I'm excited for you. Enjoy it. Continue the CrossFit Open. We'll be back next week.
We didn't even talk about the CrossFit Open, did we?
We'll be back next week.
We'll talk about that next week and talk about CrossFit.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, thank you. Have a good week. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
Man says just do it. He doesn't care anymore. He's given up caring.
Oh, that's such a sad story. So we've had a really good run of it, but I've also... No, I'm going to start that over again because that doesn't seem like it's going to be a good transition. It really didn't seem like it was going to work well. The end of that sentence was not going anywhere good. I got to start that over.